Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
this is the About Last Night show.
I got fired up listening.
Yeah, that's our second show with the new song.
Yeah,
and I dig it.
I dig it too.
There you go.
Fuck.
Thank you for
the
love.
I should dig it.
Yeah, thank you for the love that you guys sent us on Twitter about the new song. We were kind of worried that you guys would be like, "What's up,
yeah,
man?
Can you imagine?
Real Big Fish was my life.
Yeah,
the first 15 seconds of that song just made my week. I can't go on anymore.
I lost my virginity to it. My parents. You got divorced to it.
Cool show today. We're going to start the show with just Adam and me catching up because we haven't been alone in the studio. Adam and I need some alone time together.
Yeah, let alone equipment being in the room and Dick being here too. We just haven't been here.
Yeah, and then coming in on the second half of the show is going to be former major leaguers, Dimitri Young and Robert Fick, and they got a new podcast on this network called FYI. And
we're going to talk baseball steroids
and
groupies
and yeah.
And how pure Ken Griffey Jr. was, steroid free.
You're just going to tell me more about Seattle players.
Yo, I got to go straight to the source because I obviously a big Seattle sports fan, but I take pride in the fact that Griffey is one of the few.
Well,
you know, and maybe one of the only players of the 90s, 2000s mm-hmm. that is not connected to roids.
Right.
And it's in the top five for, like, all major. I mean, you know, everyone considers him
talent.
The best player of the 90s. And then to still have 603 injured seasons because of a hamstring,
mm-hmm.
which that's what happens when you get older. Your body starts to fall apart. And mm-hmm. when you miss seasons, that's because you're letting nature take its course. You're not pumping yourself full of steroids and coming back 2 weeks later after you fucking tear a hamstring.
Yeah. He did the whole thing right.
Yet still hit, I think, 690 home runs.
Not that you're an obsessed fan or anything. Not.
Hey, man.
Not that.
I just recognize greatness.
Not that you've cut a hole in your giant upper deck Ken Griffey Jr. Cut out.
Also cut a hole in the upper deck of my face, if you notice the scar.
I did, man. You have a nice scar.
Yo, sometimes you wake up, this is just me, but do you ever wake up with like a scratch on your face and you're like, shit, was I attacked by wolverines in the middle of the night? Or
Is that what happened?
Well, that's what I usually think. But you never wake up with like a random scratch or something that
I
scratch
do.
Yourself and you're like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, I do.
Maybe it was my roommate's cat.
So
I cut myself shaving. And people have been asking me, though, like, what happened? And, like, usually the go-to story is what I used actually last night at a comedy club was I told these guys, I was like, yeah, dude, I was at Quiznos, and the guy was being, like, really – the guy behind the counter was just being really an asshole, and he was, like, you know, giving me shit about my order because I kept adding things.
Mm-hmm.
And jokingly, I was just going to set it up to, you know, get to this big thing where we were out in the alleyway, and I waited till after he got off work and fucking, you know, with my sandwich just beat him mercilessly. And before I could even get there,
not the first time you've beat someone mercilessly with 6 inches.
Yeah.
Woo!
Whoa.
Woo!
Too soon. And it's bigger than six. So then before I can even get to that punch, my buddy goes, dude, fucking Quiznos. He goes, dude, let me tell you something about that place, dude. They're constantly fucking up. Like, and he goes on this giant rant. I was like, whoa, I was kidding, man.
Yeah.
You actually have like a vendetta against.
Sure.
He was doing like, you know, fucking. I'm glad finally someone stuck up to those motherfuckers, dude. Like, they're.
Who has the vendetta against Quiznos?
Yeah, dude.
Is he just. Does he hate bacon ranch sauce? What's wrong with him?
Hey, he hates something sauce.
The chicken carbonara is fucking delicious.
It is delicious.
What are you talking about? That. And who interrupts a story about. Like, yeah, I got this scar on my face from a Quiznos. I'm not interrupting that
story.
Yeah,
sorry about your fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about your fight, but guess what? These guys need to change their business model.
We need to talk about a conspiracy theory. Oh, so you, well, okay.
So it wasn't actually a fight.
Well, you see, you almost got in a fight. Now, me, on the other hand.
Yeah, you said you actually.
this weekend.
Now, title the name of the story, because stories are always.
Sure.
This great when you give him a title, and then we can figure out later on in the story why this title
has
been given.
Okay.
I mean, I can tell you what I would title it, but tell me yours first.
All right. The title of this story is 1.5 against 1. That is.
Dick, what do you think that is?
I know what it is.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. he knows what it is. Yeah. What would you title it?
1.5 versus 1. Well, based off that title, it would be like, all right, so Brad was measuring his penis versus another. No, that's not true. It's charged. I would title it underground. No, eye level brawl.
Eye level brawl.
Or
I like that one. So. Here's what happened. I was in Denver, Colorado this past weekend at the Comedy Works in downtown Denver, which is one of my favorite clubs in the country. It's
amazing.
Did
not disappoint, yeah.
Did not disappoint. The crowd's
finally
there.
Going there in May.
Amazing. Oh, you are? Mm-hmm. Congratulations, dude.
Just with D'Elia. Oh. Not headlining, but still.
Yeah. You're there, and you'll see why. So when you get there, there's a bar across the street from the club called The Front Porch.
Okay.
So I go there after the show with my buddy Steve. Now, Steve and I, he lives in Denver now. Steve is another dwarf. We've known each other, I'd say, since we were little.
How many dwarf friends
but,
do you
like,
have?
A lot.
For real?
A lot. And Steve is my boy. We've known each other since we were 7 years old. I dare you to find.
Known each other since we were 4 feet.
Yeah. And since we growed up to 4'2". Yeah. Now, I dare you to find a dwarf female between the ages currently of 20 years old and 28 that has not fucked either me or my boy Steve.
Wow.
We clean house is what we're saying. You know,
you guys are kind of the
we were the Zach and AC Slater.
Love it.
If the world of dwarves was Bayside High.
Great.
All right. Cleaned up.
Great comparison.
So now I understand that one thing that keeps me humble in this business is that no matter how famous I get or no matter how funny I think I am, when I go out, people always stare at me. It's just my life.
Yeah.
It happens.
Well, dude, yeah. Pechanga, great example. Asians rubbing your head. When we're walking through the lobby, little did I know that you had given a speech to the casino earlier in the day to basically be like, hey, come to the shows tonight.
Yeah.
And then all the Asians started rubbing your head.
Yeah, because they thought it'd be good luck. And
you told them it'd be good luck.
Yeah, and then that they would hit a jackpot. So word spreads.
So I had no idea that this even went down. You didn't even tell me about that whole afternoon. So cut to us walking through the lobby to the club, and Asians left and right just start rubbing Brad's head. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? And you don't even flinch. And you don't even stop to tell me. You don't even like take the rubs and go, oh, earlier today. You just keep walking.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, anyway, man, I think, I don't know, man. I mean, Kobe's obviously playing well, but like head rub. And they're like, yeah, but I mean, like, you know, hopefully Gasol comes back from the... I'm like, dude, wait, what's... why are they rubbing your head?
Oh, you know, it's a thing.
That's incredible. Good luck. And they obviously buy into it because...
Obviously, because when a dwarf tells you something...
Also, there's not very many Japanese dwarves, right? So, like...
Not very... Well, like, it's hard to tell the difference between a Japanese midget and like, a regular Japanese person.
I think you're gonna say, yeah.
The size is not that different. You know, it's like Japanese midget 3'8", Japanese person 4'1".
Yeah.
They kind of...
Both terrible at karaoke.
Ronri. Anyway.
I am so... All right.
So me and Steve are at this bar after called The Front Porch, which is right across the street from the club. Now, this guy comes up to us and wants a picture with both me and my buddy Steve. Now, he was not at my show, so he's just coming up wanting a picture because he
sees dwarves.
Two dwarves drinking.
Yeah, dude.
Now, first of all, let me also say that Denver has a higher altitude, mile-high city.
Yeah,
mile high city
so
for a reason.
Two beer Brad becomes
0.5 beer Brad.
Wow.
So I'm shit-faced already.
Jesus.
And this
off of absolutely nothing.
Off
that's
of breathing.
Incredible.
Off of breathing. I'm shit-faced.
Yeah, you hear about beer and you're just like, oh, dude, I got to go home.
That Coors commercial fucked me up.
That Coors commercial got me drunk.
So this guy just wants a picture, and we're like, hey, no, we're here to hang out. We're not here to do a picture just, you know, so you can go home and jerk off to it later.
Wow.
You know, or post it on
Facebook. He had that kind of vibe, huh?
Yeah, it was just a really weird vibe. And
my U-Porn password ran out. I need a couple of dwarves in Denver to fill the void, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and so the guy's just like, no, man. I love when someone insults you and then responds with, it's cool. Like, no, you still insulted me.
Yeah.
Like, and that doesn't make it better. Like, I'm not going to take the picture with you. It's cool. Okay, now I'll take the picture with you. No. And he's like, it's cool, man. No, we're just going to get a picture. I don't want a fucking picture. And we start arguing back and forth. Now, I'm a little more passive because I'm a comedian and a public persona, and I don't want, you know, shit to get out. Steve don't give a shit.
Yeah.
He's just like, you know what? Fuck you. Back off. I'm here with my boy. Whoa. And yeah. And if you want to see a picture of me and Steve, follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. I post a picture because we both pretty much look exactly alike.
Do you really?
Yeah, we do. So
you're like the Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger of dwarves.
Exactly. Perfect. Asshole.
That's a great compliment. That's a great movie. Yeah, we're a great duo.
Yeah, I'm Arnold. Anyway.
And I'm Danny. Danny DeVito kind of sounds like Tony Danza.
So
Danny DeVito Danza.
So the guy, pushes Steve. All of a sudden he says, you know what, fuck you back, and pushes Steve, and Steve falls off the bar stool.
Which, by the way, you push a dwarf, 8 years bad luck.
Exactly. That's way worse than breaking a mirror.
It's way worse.
And really, you're going to push a midget off the bar stool? That's a long-ass fall,
yeah,
okay?
Dude.
That's really high. Like, I tiptoe off curbs,
that's
all right? Yeah. And you're going to shove me
like
out of a bar stool?
Like a normal person falling off an escalator.
Yeah. Like the whole thing, from the top, not...
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
off the bar stool? What a fucking asshole.
Yeah. So Steve falls down, and when he hits the ground, you know, despite popular belief, we don't burst into gold coins.
That might be the best stereotype I've ever heard. A dwarf falls off a stool. Well, dude, well, now you see why he did it. Maybe the guy was really, like, hurting for cash.
He couldn't pay his bar tab. He shoves Steve off. Now, he's in the middle of us trying to take this picture. So when he shoves Steve off, his back is turned to me. Me, fight or flight kicks in.
Yeah.
And I fight because obviously I'm a threatening individual at 4'4". Yeah! What's up?
Don't push a dwarf off a bar stool because we'll fuck you up.
I'm going back to the gym. Do a montage.
Dwarf.
Starts giving rope with a shoelace,
ooh,
motherfucker. That's what I do. Woo!
What's your buddy's name again?
Steve Wilde.
Steve and Brad.
Yeah.
We'll fuck you up.
Woo!
Don't fuck with them.
And new tag team champions of the world.
In this corner, Steve Wilde and Brad Williams. In this corner, drunk guy who needed to pay his bar tab and was hoping by pushing a dwarf off a stool he would turn into gold coins.
Darn right. So I just jump on this guy's back and put him in a chokehold. So I'm choking him from behind.
Oh, shit.
And, like, I'm piggyback riding him. And he's, like, flailing around.
Like, this was a fight, not a gay porn. I'm choking him out back. He's got me out front. Steve's got his mouth open.
Yeah. Hey, you know, shit happens.
Keep going.
So then I'm choking him. He's flailing around like it's Yoda on Luke Skywalker's back Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
And then as I'm choking him, Steve gets up. And just starts, all right, now you got to understand something. When dwarfs fight, like you tall, you tall guys, when you fight, you can kind of, all right, I'm just going to hit him, maybe mess him up a little bit. Like you can easy fight.
Back off, get your bearings.
Right. When dwarfs fight, we know that we'll eventually lose. So we have to end this fight as fast as fucking possible.
So you're just trying to get in a couple jabs and
We fight dirty. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
We don't go for
ankle biting?
Oh, so Steve just runs up and he goes like Oscar De La Hoya speed bag on this dude's nuts.
What?
Just like...
like Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah. He's busting it out and he's just going and I'm choking him. So the guy's like... The guy starts like going down lower because I'm choking him. He's getting punched in the balls hard. And like when we punch balls, you guys have to go in an angle, like you're going down.
No, you're right.
We're
there.
Just
straight shot.
Straight jab, baby. You're going down.
Yeah.
Balls.
Mike Tyson
down.
Punch out style.
Lil Mac. Woo! So I'm choking him. Steve's doing that. The bar is stopping like there's an episode of Punked going on. Like, they don't believe this shit is happening. And
everyone's watching at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously.
Like, that...
People were watching when you guys walked in.
Right.
Now
we're fighting. That beats the two drunk whores making out on the side. Like, why is no one looking at us? We never do
Can
this
Can you imagine?
Before.
This was the first night they decided to les out. And fucking, what are the odds? Two dwarves come in and upstage them with a brawl.
Yeah, bitch.
They're
dwarves
so pissed.
Greater than lesbians.
And they're trying to tell everybody, and they're like, we got pictures of it. They're like, dude, fucking... The one phone that was taping them les out got interrupted because the guy grabbed the phone and immediately started taping you guys. All right.
So, and then, like, this happens in about, I'd say, like, 10 seconds, and then other people jump in. But here's the best part. Even if two dwarves are winning a fight, No one fights the dwarves. They, like, these other guys ran in and started beating the fuck out of the other guy, too.
What?
So I'm choking him. Steve's ball punching him. Now guys are putting boots to him. Because, like,
oh my God.
No one looks at a guy fighting two midgets and goes, oh, the midgets were in the wrong.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? It's like, what?
They've always got your back.
Yeah. So then a couple guys get some shots in. The guy gets kicked out. And then
everybody cheers.
And
you guys, they pick you guys up, right? Please tell me the story finishes with you guys
on the shoulders.
Out.
Yo, Adrian, I did it.
Can you play that song?
What was that? What's this?
You were loving Rocky.
No, I don't care. No, I like Rocky.
Chariots of Fire.
Stick with Rocky. I like that. I did it, Adrian. We knocked out a douchebag.
Yo, remake.
Woo!
Little Rocky.
Little Rocky. So then,
you can remake Little Rocky.
Little
dude.
Rocky. I like it.
Little Rambo.
Little Rambo. Let's do the whole career.
Dude.
I can't wait for Little Judge Dredd.
Yo, again, we joke, but there's probably a. I mean, are you. If things are already getting remade.
Yeah. Why not? So then, the guy gets kicked out, and the bartender just looks at me and Steve and goes, you know what? You guys. Drinking for free, rest of the night.
Oh, my God.
And we're
God.
Like, no, so that, but I've already had two.
Yeah, I've already had. I just, please don't play. Are those TVs going to play Coors Light commercials?
So, and you can't turn down free drinks.
So how many, honestly, did you have after that?
After that, people just kept coming up to us buying us shots because they're like, this is the greatest thing.
And I've also, you're riding
life.
The high of the fight.
Yeah.
So you want it, like. The rush of the show, every comedian can attest to,
sure.
is enough to, I mean, not every show, but most shows, especially on a weekend,
especially
and if you're doing a
works.
Lot of
yeah.
time, even if you're only doing 10 minutes and you're hosting, if a great club and the energy is awesome, and you're especially on the road because you mm-hmm. just feel like, wow, I like, you know, because you do your shit in the hometown, you're like, you almost feel like you have home court advantage, so people are
sure.
supposed to laugh at you, which
yeah.
is a fucked up thing to think. But when you go to a new place with a new crowd and you and you do great, you have this heightened sense of like, fuck, this is incredible, and you're riding the high, and people
sure.
want to buy you drinks. So I can't imagine what that's like
yeah.
after a fight.
Oh, we're just ugh.
And the guy gets so you have won in every stage of this.
I couldn't have been more manly.
He didn't get the picture.
No, he didn't get the picture.
You won the fight.
Yeah, kicked him out.
He had sore balls, and he got kicked out.
Yeah, what's this one? Chariots of Fire. There you go. This is the greatest after party ever.
Yeah, see, this is fucking.
And by the way,
in slow mo, the guy's getting fucking like. Right now, we see him being like carried out. Oh, what are you stopping for?
It cut off.
Oh, it cut off. Oh,
boy.
Oh, but
I was like fucking like getting to the best part of the porn, and your computer freezes.
it just freezes on the guy's face receiving a blowjob.
And you're
terrible.
Like right there, so you just have to finish.
It's terrible. So like, and
the bum's still screaming outside your window.
Wow, that's a callback from like
yeah,
podcast number
like,
two.
Yeah.
Good call. And in my head, I'm just thinking, how is this guy going to tell this story? Because you know he's not going to say, I got
what
beat up by two
call.
Midgets.
No, dude.
He's not going to say
he's gonna
that.
He's going to say, he for sure, his version right now consists of, dude, these fucking, I saw these midgets walking around, right? They start giving me shit, right? There's two of them. What are the odds? One of them's giving you shit. Dude, they're both giving me shit.
Right.
So I go, you know what, guys? I don't want any trouble. I'm going into the bar. They follow me in, and they're like, yo, dude, why are you fucking walking away and being an ass?
Yeah.
I was like, because apparently they had, like, they thought I was one of their friends, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept trying to be like, dude, why'd you have to be an ass? You could, like, that's our friend we thought you were.
Yeah.
You're like, being an ass about it. I was like, dude, what? What are you even talking about? I didn't want any part of these guys, but fucking, you know, dwarves, man, they won't let up, right? He'll make up some sort of like, you know, they just keep coming at you, man.
Right.
Next thing I know, they're punching my balls. Everyone's like, what?
Yeah, dude. Well, because when dwarves fight, they don't fight regular. Like, when dwarves fight, they form up like Voltron.
Yeah.
Like, nine dwarves came out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Like one's the fist, one's the other fist, and they're all just beating up on me, man.
So they're coming at me. I'm trying to just have my own, you know, my drink and mind my own business. Dude, one of them comes at me. I try to defend myself. I end up giving him a little jab. He falls off the stool. His buddy goes, did he turn into gold coins? No, dude, he didn't. But they kicked me out. Yeah, dude, he'll. Yo, this is the fight music.
Oh, if anyone has this on YouTube, I saw phones out. I hope it makes it on YouTube. This would be the perfect dwarf fight music.
Brad, I think that might be the next video, the next Gangnam Style dance video.
Oh yeah.
you and Steve drunk, just fucking fighting and wrestling, and that music in the background.
That are like the Benny Hill theme. Yeah. Oh yeah, that'd be great.
That's a great story.
So that was that, and that was the dwarf fight. That was
the dwarf fight
one,
of 2013.
One versus one and a half.
One and a half,
my friend.
Yeah, that's actually a great name for it.
Yeah.
One versus one and a half.
Like, you know, like it's kind of the opposite of 300.
Yeah.
it said 300.
See,
it's like,
another great remake, though.
Yeah. 300 with midgets called 150. I'm on fire today.
Dude, there's so many.
So that happened at the Front Porch Bar, which is across the street from the Comedy Works.
Are they a sponsor? You gave them some serious plugs there.
They should.
That fight, because not only just the mentions on the podcast here, but
right.
To have a dwarf fight in your bar, talk about free promotion.
Right.
Talk about advertising for a good time. Dude,
you think? Yeah.
You're going to be getting hit up by fucking Burger Kings and Del
Absolutely.
Tacos left and right.
We need dwarf fights happening in our establishments.
Think about how much better those Olive Garden commercials would be if people are sitting there like, when I first found out Dad was taking me to the Olive Garden for my college graduation, I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. But then they brought out Never Ending Pasta for $8. And I was like, no way. Pasta forever for $8? And then you just like, the camera just pans over and you see two dwarves fighting in the background, and then it just cuts away and goes, the Olive Garden. You're like, whoa, wait, whoa, what's happening? What's happening?
That happens there?
See,
all the time.
Dude, hey, I'm telling you, man.
Chateau Marmont got famous after Led Zeppelin allegedly had sex with a woman and a shark.
Whoa, what?
That story. Dick, please tell me you know that story.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay, Dick. All right, Dick knows that story. There's a story about Led Zeppelin being in the Chateau Marmont.
Yeah.
And they had groupies back there, and they're like, we'll do anything. And Led Zeppelin used a dead shark and used it kind of as a dildo on a woman.
Wow. That's
almost right.
Almost right?
Almost right.
It was in Seattle at the Edgewater Grill.
Oh,
the Edgewater Inn,
yeah,
which is
a great place.
Right up against
right
the water.
Yeah,
and you can
dude.
Fish out of your window.
So he fished with a dildo?
And they caught a mud shark.
I missed the first part.
And they
of
the tied
story.
A groupie to the bed and shoved it up your twiz.
Twiz! Dick,
depressing
you're so,
Dick strikes
you're,
again!
You're so polite. will you turn me up just a little bit more? Yo, did you watch the All-Star game this weekend?
Super Bowl? No.
The NBA, yeah, dude, so boring, man. First of all, I've about had it with Magic Johnson, and here's what I'll just say. Yo, one of my favorite players of all time.
Sure.
One of the most successful businessmen.
Sure.
In the history of
sports.
Sports dude,
owner,
restaurants, movie
jazz.
Theaters. And yeah, it was pretty cool that you beat that whole AIDS thing.
Yeah.
But that doesn't excuse you from making intelligent analysis in pre and post game. Magic, like, you're talking to us like... Like, it's just, all he does is state the obvious, and then he wraps it together with, well, we're just going to have to see what happens. It's like, dude, I'm watching you to hear your predictions. Like,
right.
Dude, it's like, he goes, they're like, Magic, what do you think about the Lakers-Celtics? And he goes, well, the Lakers got Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant, he's pretty good. He's one of the best 50 players. You heard of him? He's pretty good. But the Celtics, they got a guy by the name of Paul Pierce. He can shoot. He can dribble whenever he wants to. He's wearing shoes all the time. So with those two things involved, we'll just have to see what happens. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Dude, if I went to it's like going to a restaurant and you ask the waiter, hey, man, how's the burger? Well, it's got meat. It's got buns. There's probably some lettuce and tomatoes. Yeah, but how is it? Well, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. Dude, what are you going to do to my burger? What do you mean we're going to have to wait and see?
Let's play a quick improv game of Magic Johnson is the doctor, and so you're Magic.
Sure.
I'm the patient, and you're going to tell me that I've got some terrible disease and what road lies ahead.
Right, okay.
All right.
Right.
Hey, Doc.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Hey, did you see the game last night?
Oh, wow. Well, you're in a great mood. So does that mean the test came back negative?
Well, here's what's going on with your blood work. We did the blood work. Okay. Turns out you got blood in the blood.
Okay.
Okay. You got some cells in there. Some
okay.
White and some red ones.
Whites are good. They fight. Yeah.
Whites are pretty good.
Yeah.
But inside of the blood cells,
yeah.
Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's some cancer.
Oh. There's
some gonorrhea. Okay.
There's some gonorrhea.
And there's a little bit of AIDS.
Wait, a little bit of AIDS?
A whole lot of AIDS.
Wait, there's a whole lot of... What level of AIDS are we talking about
like
here?
Like 4 or 5.
Wait, 4 or 5? That's not a lot, because you're like going 1 to 100, right?
Yeah, so we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Wait, hey, Doc, but you said I had gonorrhea, cancer, and AIDS. Like, is it like, what kind of cancer? What are my chances of living here?
Kobe Bryant.
Wait, I never was around Kobe. He didn't give me AIDS.
Game 6 of the 1987 NBA Finals, I played center, point guard, forward, scored 46 points.
Right.
15 assists,
right.
7 rebounds.
What does that have to do with me having cancer?
You're going to die, bitch.
Perfect. I think we're going to take a quick break. And yes, we are? We are. Okay. We're going to take a quick break.
No, we can't take a break.
Ah, damn it, interrupting Tony Danza.
No. Because, I had a pretty crazy weekend, too. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but I was at the All-Star game.
Why were you at the All-Star game, Tony Danza?
Why wasn't I? Well, first of all, I was pretty pissed off they didn't ask me to play in the celebrity game. I saw all these celebrities like, hey, you ever seen my jump shot? Boy, let me tell you something. I used to play on the set of Taxi, right? We'd set up a little hoop in the backyard. Even on Who's the Boss, I'd get Jonathan. I'd get him in there and be like, hey, come in here, you little bitch. And he's like, eh, Tony, I want to sew. I was like, you fucking gay kid.
We're going to take a quick break. Come right back with former MLB players Dimitri Young and Robert Fick. This is the About Last Night show.
Listening to the GoCast Network.
Buck Starr here, Greg Seitz, whatever my name is, Greg Buck Starr Seitz, CEO of GoCast Network.
And I'm Gary Garver, formerly of, I don't even want to mention that asshole's name, from the GoCast Network, program director of the GoCast Network.
Weren't you on Journey?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Sammy Hagar, they said.
Sammy Hagar. And you know what? We got some sick new technology. You can check us out with Viddy.
What the hell's Viddy, Greg? I have no idea what that is.
Viddy is Instagram, Twitter combined for a great 15-second video experience where you'll see awesome clips and fun stuff.
Wow, I can't wait to check that out. Where do we go?
Viddy.com? I think so.
Okay, cool.
Before you hit fast forward, listen to this.
It's the big hot rockin', nonstop, and less talkin', boss shockin', head knockin', finger poppin', yankin', crankin', hiney spankin', wham bam, thank you, ma'am, 50,000 watt blowtorch of rock and roll! That is the Dick and Darren Show.
Dick and Darren downloaded 185 episodes. It's pretty good for you. You'll like it. Up in your ear hole.
On the GoCast Network.
What's up, guys? This is Danny Trejo, and I want to tell you about the best restaurant in Southern California, the Second Floor in Huntington Beach. The Second Floor is a one-of-a-kind tattoo and cutting-edge art bar. The food is amazing. Try our Rockin' Nachos, the Sliders, or the Monster Colossal Burgers, or my favorite, the Trejo's Taco. Second Floor. I'll see you there.
Have you ever made a purchase, bought something, gone into a store, picked up an item, and thought to yourself, I sure wish I could pay GoCast Network? Well, great, because now's your chance. Brothers and sisters, put your hands together for this great opportunity. Go to GoCastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon link. Buy your stuff from us at the GoCast Network Amazon link, click it on. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Click on the Amazon link, click on the Amazon link, click on the Amazon link, and support the GoCast Network. That's all I got to say. Buy your stuff from us. Thank you.
We're back on the GoCast Network.
All right. We are back on the About Last Night show. I'm Brad Williams, my co-host over there. Is Adam Ray?
Heyo.
And now we have a podcast, a literal podcast all-star team.
Yeah, dude.
Going on right here. Robert Fick,
couple of big
Dimitri
timers.
Young, former MLB players. All right, welcome. Welcome to the About
Thank
Last
you.
Night
welcome,
show, gentlemen.
Fellas. And welcome to the network. You guys just started your show.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Your guys' show is called FYI.
With a question mark.
With a question mark.
Yes.
Because we don't know if it's for your information.
No, the F is for Fick.
Okay, Fick.
Why is
that's
for
me.
Yeah.
Me,
yeah,
young.
Obviously.
And the I, whatever you want.
Whatever you want, man. Yeah.
All right.
I like that.
Badass. Now, in terms of the baseball season, we're just getting into spring training. Everyone's coming in. Now, what's it like as former players when the off season's done and you got to get back into it? Is it that you got that itch that you want to get back into it.
Yeah, because you hear people say, as soon as the season ends, being like, you know what, man, right back to the gym tomorrow morning. And you're like, man, you'll probably fucking go to Hawaii for a couple weeks, right? Like, I mean, or do you just really get right back into it?
Go ahead, Robert.
It depends on how much you like your family or not.
That's wild,
some guys can't fucking wait to get away from their wives and kids, and some guys, you know. But, yeah, that's pretty much how
all
it
right,
works.
All right, here's the politically correct answer right here. You go, baby, it's time for me to go back to work, and it's fun to get away from the family and stuff because you're at home working out the entire off season, and you're already making plans with your buddies on what you're going to do once you get into town. Mm. And is that true,
yeah.
Robert?
And what chicks you're going to fly in from last year.
This is what I like.
And in baseball, we call those women beef.
Mm-hmm.
Beef.
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 So that's their groupie title.
Yep.
Wow.
Beef. Now, why beef? Is it because they bring like a basket of bolognese when they show up?
That's a good question.
I
don't know where the terminology beef came from, but sure. it's very fitting.
Yeah, and because I have a friend who was on the show Baseball Wives. She was not even a wife; she was a girlfriend. She was a beef. She's beef.
Wow. The one that said she was with Niger Morgan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jordana.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a friend of mine, and she tells me about this culture. Like, there's some girls that just like, all right,
dedicate their lives to
getting,
sleeping
get
with ball
on
players.
Our show.
It's getting close to it. Let's fly out to Scottsdale. Let's fly out to South Florida. Let's see if I can get myself a Porsche this year.
They're called pro hoes.
Pro hoes.
Yes.
Wow. What do you got?
Sounds
you
like something Rob Emanski sells on his DVD commercials.
Rob Emanski after 2 a.m.?
Yeah. You know that guy? He's like, I have, you know, AAU championships back to back.
Fred McGriff, you get my full endorsement.
He's like, I haven't played in 28 years, but fuck, this thing works.
Tom Emanski.
That's right. What'd I say, Rob Emanski?
Yeah, whatever.
Yo, man, some people support the other guy whose DVD didn't sell as well, man. Tom is the guy who made it. Rob came up
Tom
with that shit.
Tom didn't make it. He just made the DVD.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he had Fred McGriff on that shit, too.
Right, yeah. Well, Fred McGriff endorses anything, it turns into gold. Now, is there one baseball player that's known as almost like the Wilt Chamberlain of baseball pro hoes?
No, there are a lot of guys that try and fit that title. We have guys who like to take other guys' beef. We call them beef thieves.
Beef thieves.
Please make a cartoon called Beef Thieves where it's MLB players going around stealing other guys' beef.
Beef Thieves sounds like something out of like Boardwalk Empire or like Newsies where, story, we got beef thieves on 42nd Street.
This Friday in an all-new Beef Thieves, Bobby Bonilla steals Tom Emanski's wife.
The best is when a married dude gets pissed at another dude for stealing his beef.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I thought you were married.
He's like,
in the off season.
Yeah.
Married in the off season.
All right, so there's no all-star pro ho, huh?
We like to make fun of Alex Rodriguez because he doesn't know how to run beef right.
Now his beef, I've seen some of the women that he's been photographed with. His beef is beef. He likes the buff chicks.
But you notice that they break up with him.
Yeah, what's up with that? But it is no secret though. He is, I mean, as much of a ladies' man as he's made out to be. Yeah, or
he might be more of a lady than the ladies.
Wow.
I saw that photo shoot with him making out with himself in the mirror.
He did?
Yeah, well, like, he did this one photo shoot. I don't know if it was, like, GQ or something like that. And literally in the article, he's talking about, like, how he's trying to stay humble. And the picture right next to it is him lips to lips with himself in the mirror. Like, he's making out with himself.
I don't see anything humbling about that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, no women can measure up to this perfection, so might as well.
Well, that's artificially made, too.
Yeah.
Now, okay.
Wait, I want to ask a real quick A-Roll question. Okay. So I'm from Seattle, right? So when he was there, he was, you know, owned the city. After Griffey and Randy left, it was just like, all right, now he's the main guy. And, you know, men loved him because he was a great player. Women loved him because, you know, they... They thought he was a woman.
Because he has a good-looking Latino man.
Lips,
the lips, yeah.
He got perfect lips.
Yeah, perfect lips.
For a man.
Well, yeah. For a man. You never trust a guy with perfect lips. But then my question is, when he, as a player, like, he got a lot of shit when he went to Texas for fucking, what, $252 million? Like, everyone turned on him. But then there's half people who are like, well, yeah, like, he was the best player in baseball, right? Like, you got to take that money or... But Seattle was paying him a lot, too, and also we were really good, and he said he was going to Texas because he wanted to help turn them around, but it was like, and it wasn't for the money, but I'm saying, so do you understand a move like that on his part? Because it's, you gotta
follow the money?
Get that money, or is loyalty gone in sports, I guess?
Loyalty. Yeah. You have loyalty to your family.
Yeah.
You have loyalty to yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the way that it was handled wrong because he was trying to make it seem like he was in love with Seattle, but he went where the money is. A lot of people go where the money is, but he tried to make it a point that I love Seattle. And he had people believing that.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, $252 million with Tom Hicks and the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, if he would have said that, you know, I'm going to test the free agent market out.
Sure.
And let me see what's out there.
Yeah, because he didn't do that. It was just kind of out of nowhere. It was just like all of a sudden, like, you know, boom, I'm gone.
And even today there was an article about Josh Hamilton. He, when they said, why'd you leave Texas? He said, well, it's not a baseball town. And I'm like, you're coming to Anaheim. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Angels fan, but not exactly baseball mecca. You know what I mean?
They're getting there. They're getting there.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They're spending ridiculous amounts of money, but you know, it's not Fenway Park where guys know the names of the other players' children and they're like chanting them to try to mock. I mean, you know, Anaheim's kind of like, oh, we're gonna sit back. We got the nice weather. Oh, look, there's a baseball game. Oh, this is wonderful. But just say you're going. You're following the money. No one's gonna get mad at you because it's money. Everyone likes it. So go, like you say, be for yourself. Feed your family. Shoot yourself up for roids and hit a dinger. You know what I mean? Why not?
And watch the dick shrink. Not you, Dick.
not you, depressing Dick.
You guys both played for what, two teams together at the same time, or
yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many teams collectively with you? Like four or five, right?
I played on four teams. Robert played on 29.
Yeah. Cardinals, Nationals, Padres.
No Padres.
Okay.
The Cardinals, Reds, Tigers, Nationals.
Right.
All right. And then
Tigers, Robert? Braves, Devil Rays, Nationals, and Padres.
Yeah, what's that like getting traded? Well, the first time it must be more shocking than the third time, yeah? Or is it?
Well, the first time I was traded for Jeff Brantley from St. Louis to Cincinnati, and I felt that I was getting an opportunity to reinvent myself because I was with the Cardinals from the draft up to the big leagues, and they changed ownership, and that's when Tony La Russa came in, and Tony La Russa is not real keen on rookies.
Really?
But Jim Bowden is keen on people getting a second chance.
Fuck
so
yeah.
He traded for me in Cincinnati, and I spent 4 years there hitting 300, and then he traded me off to Detroit, where
you
Robert,
guys met.
Well, we didn't. We met long before, but this was the first time that we got to play together. And
that's awesome, right? If you know each other before, and then you get to meet up with your buddy and fucking...
Boy,
it'll be awesome.
That was some good times. Yeah.
A lot of beef thieves.
A lot of beef thieves.
Yeah, you know, there was a couple on that team.
Well, I mean, and especially in a sport like baseball where you're on the road as much as you are, where the season's as long as it is, you have to like your teammates, right? Or you don't have to, but it always makes it better.
It helps.
Now, is team chemistry something that can really enhance – like how good a team performs.
Totally, right?
Just
everybody's getting along on and off the field.
Definitely, but that's called wins. When you win,
win
makes
chemistry.
Everything.
Okay.
It does.
But in spring training, is that where people are trying to instill the chemistry and get it, like make sure everybody's on the same page? And then if you don't start winning, then.
It either happens or it doesn't happen. You either scout the right dudes. I mean, all these teams have scouts, and you know, you got to do your homework who you're bringing in. And you know, nothing against the Dodgers. The Dodgers have brought in a lot of egos onto their team.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, they'll check their egos at the door, these guys, because they're held, you know, Hanley Ramirez, Adrian Gonzalez,
Carl Crawford,
sure. Josh Beckett. These guys are proven winners. And you know, the Dodgers could be a special team, but You know, they'll have to, you know, everybody, I guess, will try to be like Oakland was last year. You know, low payroll, they bunch of nobodies. And
sabermetrics.
Like we're talking
Billy Bean
about.
Again.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the Mariners do that. My Mariners become an A's type team. Or otherwise, we're going to bring back Edgar and Buehner and the entire 1995 team.
The Mariners made, they're all right. They made a few little, couple moves
Kendry
there.
Morales, Michael Morris.
Uh-huh. Yep. Can we sign Jason Bay?
Yeah, he's over there, too. He needs to be healthy.
I know, dude.
Jeez.
Dustin Ackley is still...
Morales. Watch out for Morales.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Watch out for Morse.
Don't get his hopes up. Don't get his hopes up.
That was my boy from Florida. When I lived in Fort Lauderdale, we worked out together when he was with the White Sox organization.
Beast.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, dude. This might be his
I watched this guy grow up. And
who are you talking about?
Michael Morse.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And we got Felix spearheading the rotation, right? I mean,
$175 million.
It's worth it. You got to lock him down.
You know what?
You know why? Because we've, too many times have we just, you know, grown some guy like that, let him become, you know, one of the tops in the game, and then go. And it's like.
Like who? Randy Johnson?
There's a couple of guys in there that we.
Griffey Jr.
Dude, I mean, shit. But it's like what happened with Pineda when we traded him to the Yankees. But obviously, we got. You know, some stuff back, but everyone knew that it was like, all right, at what point are they going to trade Felix to get some prospects and maybe a decent bat? But it's like,
no,
you
got
to have one guy to build around
him. He's an ace. He's a true
dude,
ace.
13-8 won the Cy Young. I mean,
that's 13-12.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to tell you, one of my favorite players of all time is Ichiro, dude. Like,
dude.
You won't find, like,
unbelievable.
Yeah, he's stupid.
What was that like seeing that? I mean, just watching him live. I mean,
you know what? Watching him live. And I've seen him for a lot of years, and you can't play defense against him. You don't know. I played third base. I played in. He'll smack it down the line. I play back. He'll bunt.
One of the few guys that was that uncertain with what was going to happen. You were just like, yo, I'll try to be in position, but
and then he'll hit a home run on you, too.
Dude, right?
Dude,
crazy.
And his defense and his speed on the bases.
That arm.
You know?
Was he well-respected across the league?
God. You watch. He's going to have a big year this year. He's got that type of personality, and he can handle the big time. These
over in New York.
You know, Hideki Matsui, Ichiro, man, these guys got nerves of steel. You watch. He's He's going to do some shit.
Well, his first year in Seattle, I think, was
MVP.
MVP and
rookie of the year,
How many years did he spend in Japan before he came to the bigs?
Seven.
Yeah, something like that.
And what was he, four-time MVP, six-time Madden
champion? And fast as
I got an autograph Ichiro bat. It's one of the only pieces of memorabilia I have.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. And the gun, that throw he got in Oakland. On the, remember that?
But you remember when my brother Ichiro, his rookie year?
Wait, what?
My brother threw him out from right field when he was with Tampa.
Holy shit.
And he looked up and he was like, oh, shit. I got
Ichiro. You got Ichiro. His Japanese cursing must have been pretty.
Oh, I bet.
He was fucking like, motherfucking beef thieves. Kobe beef. I had a question about, because. I mean, when you guys start with spring training, there's not that much, and maybe this is me just being ignorant, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of practice. Like, you kind of just get in and you start playing, like, the next week, right? That's
what it's become. When we were coming up, we used to have, a week and a half before games started. Nowadays, guys are getting in shape in the off season, so when they go into spring training,
they're just ready.
You do, 4 days of drills, which you do pop-up priorities and things of that nature, getting ready to go out there and play because those games are ready to go.
Wow. I mean, but you guys are playing instantly, like, whereas you look at the NFL, it's just hours and hours and hours, game film, coaches never sleeping. With, like, how is a manager, how can a manager come in and change a team around? Like, because, I mean, it's pretty much, hey, ball gets hit to shortstop, second baseman's got to cover. Like, this
has been baseball with Brad Williams.
Well, I know nothing.
Yeah.
So, that's a good question. Yeah.
It is. So, how can a manager come in and change the culture of the team?
Well, I'll use the guy we had last week was Bob Melvin as an example.
Ex-Mariner coach?
Yeah, I had him in Detroit. Bob had a knack for making guys feel like they belong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys in Oakland last year, a bunch of young guys, you know, not proven in the big leagues. And next thing you know, at halfway through the season, these guys, they thought they had a chance. They started believing.
Fuck.
And none of them were looking over their shoulders. Right. So a manager can make a difference like that. But, you know, like you said, there's only so much he can do when the game's going on. But You know, a guy like Joe Torre, he, everywhere he goes, he wins. And Bobby Cox, the Braves kept winning, I think, 14 years in a row.
Jim Leland.
Yep.
He commands respect. He came in 2006 right from the get-go.
Oh, right. He played for Jim.
And he was like, you know, I don't care what the culture was before, but I expect you guys to come out and play 100%. I got your back, but if you out there not doing what you're supposed to do, I'm going to get in your ass.
There you go.
So now, is there a balance with all managers? Like, with a like you see a guy like, you know, like Pete Carroll for my Seahawks, right? Like, everyone talks about how unconventional he is running up and down the sideline, like being really happy and excited for his players. And a lot of coaches are just fucking straight face, like, yeah, that's what you were supposed to do. I don't need to get excited about it. But like, is there a balance with baseball managers where you have to be like in people's faces, but also like excited about the game, and it makes you excited, right?
I know for me, it depends on the person. Okay. You know, there are some people that you got getting their ass to fire up, and then there are some people you already look and they're already sweating and ready to go out there and play.
Yeah.
And I was that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question, Adam.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite manager of all time? And I know who you're going to say. And you're so fucking wrong.
Does it rhyme with Pooh Banana?
Pooh Banana?
You just got pretty close. You just got Jedi mind fucked right
Wait,
there.
You know what?
I know what you're already going to say and what your answer will be wrong. It's not like you're second guessing yourself.
Look how he's looking at you.
Maybe it rhymes with Rim Chabeaver.
Wow.
Jim Lefevre? No. It's definitely, I mean, it's Lou Piniella because he fucking brought baseball back.
Pooh Banana is his favorite manager.
Pooh Banana.
All right, a guy like Lou Piniella, who is famous for throwing tantrums, and you always hear the announcing team of a baseball thing go, "Well, he's really gonna fire up his team with that outburst." Does that actually happen? Like, if you see your manager run out there and kick dirt on the umpire and do all that, does that fire you up?
No, it's embarrassing. It's like seeing your dad chew out a waitress at Applebee's because she fucked up your Sprite. You're like, "Dude, Dad, fucking, we got this. It's just a Sprite." He's like, "No, dude, it should have been a Diet Pib." Dude, they don't even sell Diet Pib, Dad.
Diet Pib, do they make
it? Well, they will after this podcast.
You're darn right. So it's
got to be embarrassing, I think.
Is it more embarrassing, or does it actually fire you guys up?
I enjoy it. I mean, you do. I played for Bobby Cox, and he leads the world in ejections. The umpires respect it because you're defending your players, but... You know, talking about a guy like Lou did do shit like that, but...
Lou also, he
always had you looking over your shoulder as a player, and he just, I don't know, I didn't agree with how he treated guys. He didn't really treat you like a man. He treated you kind of like a piece of meat.
He just thought he was better than everybody. You played for Wonder
in Tampa, and I know it was a bad place for Lou and a bad place
for everybody.
It was terrible.
Was that a bad place for Lou? He's from Tampa.
Yeah, I know. But
that was a short time.
He wanted out of... Is that right? Or he...
Wasn't he traded for Randy Wynn?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Wait, what?
He wanted to go back home. That's where he's from. So
yeah, the manager got traded for a player.
He's Cuban. Wow. He's not Italian.
He's Cuban, B.
Wow.
He speaks Spanish.
Wait, so what? So he kind of looks down on you. He was just like, or maybe he came from fucking all these greats in Seattle, and he was just like,
was just
"Fuck, you guys are nothing."
It was almost like he thought he was fucking Mickey Mantle or Yogi Berra.
Wow.
And he was nothing against him, but he was kind of a bench guy, a role player on the Yankees, and. You know, I don't know. He just had a really big ego, and
really do you think he helped
ego.
That?
I have a strong personality myself, but we're cool now. You know what
For
I mean?
For sure. But so you're saying you don't think he was instrumental in that turnaround in Seattle? Do you think he just had great players?
He had great players.
Yeah, Hall of Fame players.
Look at that lineup, dude. Edgar Tino Buehner Jr., yes. Even Joey Cora,
dude,
fucking.
That was fucking. I played against them. Well, they went
116 in 2001. Yeah.
That was with Mike Cameron on that
team. Dude, he was Macklemore.
I played with Ken Griffey and. Cincinnati for 2 years.
All right. That is the sound of Adam Ray's dick getting hard.
I saw his eyes get big.
They had fucking Arthur Rhodes, Jeff Nelson.
Dude, to close it down, Norm Charlton even came back for a little bit. We're still throwing it down.
I'll ask the question for
Brad could have fucking managed that.
Yeah, could have. Hit ball, run to the base.
Dude, and all the bench players? I mean, in that team, it was who was?
Come on, Adam.
Yeah, Carlos Guillen on that team.
Carlos Guillen
and
Freddie Garcia.
Detroit.
Freddie Garcia. Yeah.
Carlos was the shit. Huh?
Oh my God, he became a stud.
Switch
over
hitter.
Detroit.
Fuck, dude.
Now
Paul Abbott was in that rotation.
Yeah,
too.
Dude.
That's right. He was pretty decent.
Wait, Paul Abbott. I think I went. I went to school. I went to elementary school with his kids, Trent and Lance.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right.
We were Laguna Road Roadrunners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And we did that. No,
this has been random Abbott facts.
Yeah, sure.
<'Cause
laughs> Not even Jim.
Not even Jim. Yeah, yeah. This is somebody with two hands. Yeah. But so... Wait, so that team. So hey, you're saying that team was so.
We got to wrap up. So ask your damn Griffey question.
Oh yeah,
get it
out. Yeah, all right.
Get it out.
All right. Well, you guys will definitely be back. But so, first of all, Griffey, favorite player of all time.
Are you gonna ask the black guy or are you gonna ask me?
I'm gonna ask both you guys. I'm just looking in the black guy's direction because I was.
I played left field because
you're scared of him, dude. All right. Yeah. So, well, first of all, dope dude. Yeah.
Oh my God!
I mean, he came over from. I'm curious what that transition was like. You're being there.
You know,
he's
what?
Coming from Cincinnati, embraces him, but he's also probably like, I probably wanted to finish in Seattle, but.
You know what? The makeup of the team that we had before he came over, the 99 Reds, we won 96 games.
Yeah,
and that was probably the most magical team I ever played on, and we pretty much took away our center fielder Mike Cameron.
Yeah,
who was instrumental in being that rah rah leader guy.
Oh,
as you
was.
Can tell,
Mariner.
Yeah. Dude, yeah.
Mariner.
Dude ripped it up,
and,
man.
You know, and the next thing.
Because filling
know,
Griffey's shoes in center field in Seattle was not easy, and he kind of did it seamlessly.
He did a great job. So, with Ken over on the team, at first, you know, it was a little riffle because this is the first time I ever played with a real superstar, you know, and after I was traded to Detroit and said my piece, we wound up becoming real close friends.
Nice, dude. Was he.
He's a kid.
Yeah, dude, right? Just loves fucking joking around.
He retired like a true baseball player. He had a little gut, and he was.
That's
like
what I was gonna. That's my
he
question.
Falling asleep on
no
the
roids, right? He's never been linked to it, and here's how you know, right? His body just kind of went through a natural progression of getting older and being injured, and then having to miss almost three seasons because he didn't pump himself full of shit to get better quicker, right? I mean,
correct.
How many home runs did he hit? Six,
a lot.
93.
He lives up to your to
best
all
player,
your standards.
Best player
Adam.
You've ever seen play live or no? I mean, yes.
Yeah. Adam's gonna go home and
what do you
jerk
think?
Off to
no?
that statement. Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
Really?
Yeah. That's a tough question. Hey, he's great. I mean, I'm a King
so,
Griffey.
Well, Bobby Bonilla must have made some big
King
beefy
Griffey
moves.
King Griffey probably
for
has
you.
The sweetest swing ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His homers are beautiful.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. There you go. Well, Dimitri Young, Robert Fick, FYI podcast, right here on the GoCast Network. Baseball season's coming up.
Yeah, you guys are going to have to come back in a couple
no
weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude. We'll talk more beef thieves. We'll talk some more baseball. I
mean. We get here this early anyways.
Oh, yeah?
All
right, perfect.
Perfect. Well, let's do it. Make sure you listen to their podcast. Adam, plug your stuff.
Yeah, at Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter. I will be at the American Comedy Company in San Diego next week with Adam Devine, February 28th through March 2nd. And,
good for you.
There we go.
All right. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, BradWilliamsComedy.com. Upcoming dates in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Syracuse, New York, and Detroit. This has been for Adam Ray, Robert Fick, Dimitri Young. I'm Brad Williams. This is the About Last Night show. Please try to remember our names in the morning. I'm ready to play.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.